Like I tell you, every time I come here, it's the most important message I'll ever give. It's the only way I can look at this. Because if I just come because, oh, I got to write a sermon today, or I got to talk to you about something in the Bible because that's my obligation, then this will never work. But every time I come, I feel, okay, this is vital. This is vital that they know, because I spend hours and hours thinking and praying about this. Before I start, I want to tell you something. And I hope she doesn't mind I share this, but Denise Reeder is here with a broken heart today, a sad heart, because her mom's out at Eden Care and needs special care, and her dad needs special care, so there's a lot of weight on her heart. And I know every one of us in here has been through that. So Denise, I don't want to say I'm dedicating this to you, but I just pray that God will lift your heart today, because I know what that's like to be out and just have weight on you. It's hard to get up and live and just do your routine when there's these issues. So what I had planned to talk about today is God's power, the use of His power, and God's power to understand that so we can enjoy these things that this song is talking about. Is my soul well? No, my soul's broken right now. How do I get by God's power? How can I mend? How can I feel this uplift in my heart? And it's very important we understand what God's power is. And power has everything to do with flow. Power has to flow. It can't be held separate. It has to flow for it to be effective. And so there's many stories in this Bible that will talk about that. But today, I want to start with some simple analogies. And I've used this before, but it's so important. These little computer communication devices have become so important today. But they rely on power. And I've mentioned this before, that every day, everybody has one of these, charges this. They have to go to a power source, put it in, and then the power source goes into a battery in here. And then that's not complete. The only way this becomes effective and that we can use it as a blessing and to help us as a tool is if we start draining the power source. In other words, the power that we put in here into the battery now must be taken down and it must flow into the use for us to be able to use it. If the power doesn't flow, it means the battery's not working and we can't get any use out of this. Another analogy would be is a light bulb. If you have a light bulb and you understand anything about electricity, there's two wires that have to go to a light bulb. There's a power source that comes into the light bulb, but the only time that light bulb will light up is if the power flows through the light and then out back to the source. We must have power flow through us. And when we are talking about God's power, it is the same thing. And let me explain this to you. In other words, we can spend years and years and years coming to church, reading our Bible, reading books about the Bible, talking with others, and learning all these scriptures. But if we just hold it here and nothing else becomes of it, there's no flow. And you're going to miss the blessing that God has for you. Here's something to understand. We are born into this world as a physical being with this tiny little spirit of life that God's given us. When we come into the world like little Cooper over there, we don't know anything. And what we do, and so many people do, is we live according to our biological self. It is possible, and a lot of people are living this way, they are living their life as a biological being. Which means you eat, and you have all your senses. You see, you hear, you feel. We are biological. And the way we support this body is to take energy in through food and drink and water. And that provides energy for us to expend as a biological being. Again, it is possible to live your entire life is just a biological being that someday you will just die. This part of us, as the Apostle Paul says, like this tent that our spirit lives in, will someday perish. But the Spirit within us is not only capable of living on with God in what Jesus called paradise, but that Spirit within us is God's power to oversee, to overpower the biological self. Spiritual power will always be greater and supersede biological power. And when we're down and we're crushed and our heart hurts and we're sad and we're going through the things of life, our biological selves react to that. And that's how we feel, like this heart pressure and this sadness and this sorrow. And I don't feel like getting out of bed. I don't feel like doing anything. The joy has left me. The only thing that can fix that is spiritual power can overpower biological power. There's a lot of people in this world today, which is not a bad thing, it's a good thing, that go to the gym and work on their biological body. And they try to eat right. Hey, and you know what? It's a great analogy. I think God's given all of this to show us that the spiritual world is always reflected in our natural world. The things, our biological, and everything we, you know, see, touch, feel, hear, taste. It's reflected, because if you eat nothing but junk food, your biological body is probably going to get sick and you're not going to be able to perform to your best ability. Same thing spiritually. We must feed ourselves spiritually. We must plug into a source of nourishment for our spirit, which is God's Word, coming to meetings like this, listening to music like this. When we feed our spirit, it grows and can eventually grow stronger and have more influence in your life than your biological self. And that's why there's people in this world like Joni Erickson Tada. Here was a young gal that was an athlete who had a diving accident, broke her neck, and became a quadriplegic when she was like a teenager, 19 years old. An excellent athlete. And she could have, biologically, it could have just eaten her up and she could have died out of just depression and misery. But what she did is she had brought up enough. She knew enough about God. She knew that the only way for her to have a decent life was to make her spirit grow by feeding it and exercising it, so that her spirit became much greater than her biological self. And because of that, she's written so many books and has been able to affect so many lives all over the world for Jesus Christ. Here's the trap I fell into as an early Christian. You know, when I first started reading the Bible and I really started getting into it, and I was trapped this way for quite a few years, is I just wanted nothing except to feed and understand, and I'm still that way. I'm still digging, I'm digging, I'm digging. I want to know more and more and more about God's Word. However, if all I do is listen to sermons, which I love to do, and listen to gospel music, which I love to do, and read the Bible, which, if that's all I do, and the power comes in, into my spiritual self, and I don't do anything with it, it dies. It doesn't allow the power to flow. In other words, I'm not being effective for what God has placed that spiritual power in us to do. Mother Teresa, little Agnes Bohaju was her real name. Another great example. Here was a little girl, a little Catholic girl, who was going to learn to become a nun. And every day she went to this convent where she was learning to be a nun. She had to drive through this poverty-stricken part of India. She was actually an Albanian, but she is in India. And she'd see these little kids that had nothing. And her spirit, she was filling her spirit with the things of God. But what changed her into a powerful figure was, she didn't just hold it in. It wasn't just for her. She let that Spirit of God flow through her. And she got into wherever there was need and allowed God's power to flow through her. And it was the only thing that made her world famous. She changed the world for so many Indians over there, that thousands of people. She ended up controlling, you know, a multi-million dollar organization. Why? She grew her spirit and then allowed the power to flow through her so her light shined bright for the things of God. If you're a Christian and you spend time in the Bible and you spend time in church and you listen to the right music, that's all beautiful, and you read the great books that are being written about Jesus Christ, all wonderful things. But the power in your life to change what you're going through and help others only happens when the power comes in you and then flows out of you. You want your light to shine bright? The power must go through you. If it stops, if you take one of the wires off a light bulb, the light bulb will not shine, even though you've got power source going to the light bulb. The only time your light will shine is when the power of God is given out of our physical body, and we step into the world and begin doing, we've been talking about that, begin doing the things that God wants us to do. That's what changes the world. That's what changes our heart. And here's the beautiful thing. When I pray for people, and there's so many people to pray for. I mean, you know, you could spend hours in prayer. But the thing about prayer is you are reaching into God's kingdom, and then you're reaching out and you're allowing the power to flow through you. And when you take that, you cannot help but be blessed when you spend quality time in prayer for someone else. God's power then flows through. That's when you light up, and that's when it becomes effective. That's how we make it work. In John 4, Jesus had taken his disciples out in a boat, and he was teaching them things, and he says this. He says, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." And again, his disciples were confused, and they talked among themselves, saying, "Could someone have brought him food?" Because they'd been out ministering all day, and they were all hungry. And Jesus said those words. He says, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." And Jesus then told them to clarify, "My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me to finish his work." We now are Jesus in this world. If you sign up to be part of a Christian and Christian family, you are to be Jesus to this world. That's what the church is for. And the only way we can be effective and have these powers, this healing tendency, is if we learn and feed our spirit and allow God's spirit to flow through us out into others. We come here as a method of getting charged up, but you need it daily. You need it daily. But then we have to decide, what is my light bulb designed for? What is my motor? Who am I? Am I a phone? Am I a light bulb? Am I a healer? Am I a prayer? We're all given different gifts, but we must feed our spirit. Here's one of the things in the world that really truly worries me about Christianity today. Little Cooper over there, he's a little biological boy, knows nothing yet. The world, he's never seen a real cow. He doesn't know what a reindeer is. He doesn't know what a dentist is. He doesn't know what carpeting is. There's nothing. He's a blank hard drive. So what's happening is every day, his mom and dad, Brett and Savannah, and grandma and grandpa, we are showing him things. He's experiencing things. And his little biological body is being fed milk. And he's growing biologically. But even at this age, it is vital that we also begin feeding his spirit. And this world today lacks that. We raise our children and all of a sudden they're 20 years old and they've turned into many times wonderful, healthy, strong, biological beings. But the spirit is tiny, little nothing. And it can be at any age that doesn't know anything yet. And the spirit is where God's power exists, where God's healing exists, where we are able, when our spirit becomes strong enough and charged enough with God's Word, that is will overpower anything biologically. When you live biologically, here's what happens to your life. And we see this in the world today. You live, your whole directive of living is strictly a biological being. It's all about what you eat, what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you touch. That's a biological life. I want to eat better things. I want to drink more. I want to experience more of this. I want to see more of this. I want to do more of this. That's a biological being. And boy, do we have a lot of that. Now, that's not all bad. God gave us these bodies to enjoy things. But He also gave us this spirit that should override the biological being. And that's why Paul said, it will be a war. Your body will be at war with your spirit. It's taught in the Bible. And the stronger your spirit gets, the harder that war is. Because you're going to know, your friends are going to say, hey, we should be doing this. And in your spirit, the more you read this and the more you say, like, man, I don't know, this doesn't feel right all of a sudden. I used to do that all the time, but now I feel the conviction. I feel what sin really is. And so many people today have no clue because they're living as a biological being. And I did for years, and I still do. We will never get out of this body alive, okay? This body will be left behind. But man, we want a strong spirit, so we go right on living with Jesus Christ in paradise. Music. Think about this. Music, Thursday nights. I wish you could have been here Thursday night. These girls were pumping out song after song, and I mean they were on. And I come, and you talk about a worship service. It's a worship service, isn't it? Oh, you talk about being healed inside and out. But music, it's the perfect analogy. These girls know how to sing. But if they don't sing, where's the gift? Where's the glory? Where's the light? And there's a lot of people in the church today that have gifts, and they're all different gifts, that are not being used spiritually. These girls are using their lives spiritually. When they get up and sing, the power of God flows into them and then out, and that's the blessing. That's the blessing. So everything we do, oh my goodness, I'm going to take you, I want to read, we've spent some time with this reading in the Bible, but it talks directly to this. I'm going to go to the book of John again. This is Jesus talking, and he says, I am the true vine. I'm going to stop right there. Why would Jesus say, I'm the true vine? Why didn't he just say, I'm the vine? I'm the vine, you're the branches. Sometimes I've said that before. But he, in his word, he says, I am the true vine. The reason he said that was because in the Old Testament, and this is important to know, if you read the book of Isaiah and some of the Psalms, it says that Israel, the Hebrew nation, was first called by God the true vine. They were the first vine. In other words, what was their point? The point of the true vine is they were to produce fruit, spiritual fruit, for the rest of the world to see. They were God's chosen people. They were to produce fruit because to obey God's law. And God was going to bless them so much that other nations would come to them and say, oh, we want to be like you. What never happened? You know, they couldn't do it. They kept pulling away from God, pulling away. So what's God do? He sends His only Son, and now Jesus says, I am the true vine. Watch the fruit I'm going to give. And the fruit He gives is the fruit of the Spirit, the joy, the peace, the love, the patience, the kindness, the goodwill. And He says, I'm going to distribute this to anyone who wants it. So I'm the true vine. And then He goes on to say, if you stay attached to Me, then you too will produce fruit. And you will produce, it's the only way you will be able to produce fruit is through Me. Me being the power source, and you're connected to the vine. And then the final little Bible chapter from the New Testament I want to read to you. As soon as I find my glasses again. Thank you. Keep an eye on me. I get into it. I lose stuff.
I know. I love it.
Sometimes I forget where I am. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And then he immediately went on a journey. He left them. Oh, who did that? Well, Jesus did. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. He let them flow. He did things with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. He went out. He did something with what this master did. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his lord's money. And after a long time, the lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought the 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me the 5 talents, and look, I have gained 5 more. And his lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your lord. And he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. And look, I have gained 2 more. And his lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. In other words, I'm just giving you back what you gave me. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and in my coming I would have received back my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to those who have 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast in the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen. God says, listen, I will fill you with my spirit. And I'll bless you. I will give you a talent to use for my kingdom's expansion. I want to expand my kingdom here on this earth. And as you can see this Sunday, we have our work cut out for us. I want people to realize you're as every bit as important as a choir member, as the preacher, whatever. We are called to go out, receive this spiritual energy from God, and then use it for His glory to bring others into this family so that they can be healed and feel the blessing and the joy and the peace that God has to offer. Your spiritual self must be fed. And then when it's fed, like charging a battery, you must let that battery flow through you and out into the world. And that is where the blessing comes. Jesus didn't receive all the... What did He do? He prayed almost nightly to God His Father. Sometimes said He prayed all night. He received, He empowered Himself. So what? The next day He would go out and heal. And raise the dead and make the blind see and teach. The power flowed, and then He would recharge and the power flowed. He went out. We have to do this with our children, with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family. We live too often as biological creatures, and we are spiritual creatures. And we forget that. We're going to share communion here in just a moment as the girls come back up. And what I want to do today is I want you to contemplate what this truly is about. Contemplate the reason we have this sacrificial meal. Because Jesus made a way for every person on the face of this earth to enjoy the power and the peace and the love and the fulfillment that God has to offer. In other words, His kingdom come, Thy will be done now here on this earth just as it is in heaven. But we must connect to the power and let the power flow through us into others. That is the secret. That is the secret. And the power flows in so many ways. It's feeding children, which we do. It's our missions. But it's beyond that. It's helping each other when we're down. It's lifting one another up. It's being there. It's allowing Christ's love to flow. You can't... You know, it reminds me of a story of some monk up on a hill. And he was living in complete solitude. Just him, up on the side of a mountain. He was up there for 15 years with his Bible, with his holy books. And finally somebody made their way up to him after 15 years. And they saw him and he had this beard and he was there in this house. And the person that finally found him up in these hills said, "What have you been doing up here?" And he says, "I've been loving people." Well, he had deceived himself. Because the only way people will know that you love them is if we do something. Love is only shown through action. Maybe singing, maybe preaching, maybe serving meals, maybe helping somebody pay their bills. It may be lifting them up when they're down. Love must be demonstrated. The power must flow in and then out. You can spend the rest of your life in this Word alone, but that's not what God wants us to do. The power must flow in and then back out, and then you must be recharged. Those who get so depressed and down and you know, there's the healing power of the Spirit is beyond anything. It's beyond medicine. It's beyond anything that we know of here. And that's what I want all of us in this family to do, is to strengthen our spirits so that God's power can flow through us out into one another. Amen. So as we come to this table of grace, understand God loves you. He has His power source is unlimited. It's a spiritual power source that will enable you. It will enable you to go out into the world and make a huge difference. So as we come to the table of grace today, open your hearts to the music and the sound. Come, for all things are ready. And on the night Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and He